Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We welcome Matt from the Action Network. And Matt, there have been a lot of activity, a flurry of activity, if you will, over these last 24 hours. In fact, last night it was Tobias Harris getting traded from the Clippers to the 76ers. But let's start with the big domino. Everybody wants to know, what is the latest on Anthony Davis and the Pelicans?
So over the weekend, the Pelicans basically went into a bunker, according to people I talked to around the league, and they shut things down and didn't want to basically have any sort of conversations with anybody. Obviously, they returned to the table this week and negotiated with the Lakers to whatever degree they did. But the sense I got very early on after AD's request was that they were unimpressed with the Lakers trade package, and that's continued to hold true. And the Lakers have added to it, and they've added more and more to it. But the problem is the Pelicans aren't interested in quantity. They're interested in quality. So offering them more of something of mid-level value isn't really going to move the needle on them, especially with Boston having made overtures to say, just wait, we have all these assets, they'll all be in play, just hang on. It looks very much like the Pelicans are going to wait, but I'm still a little skeptical because while league sources have indicated that they feel like the Pelicans are reticent to do this deal, there's still been a sense of, well, I kind of think the Lakers are going to get it done anyway. That's been the confusing part of this, is there doesn't seem to be any reason for the Pelicans to do it. There doesn't seem any reason for the Pelicans to do it now. But the league is kind of operating on, the Lakers just kind of always get these deals done, so we're still kind of expecting it, even though all the evidence says otherwise.
How do you feel about it?
I think that based off of, there's a couple of factors that make this one different. One, I think that Rich Paul's involvement for Clutch, I think it went a little too far. The reaction from the league was considerable. People around the executives around the league were just like, look, you know, all sorts of nonsense goes on. That's the league, that's the NBA. But this was so brazen and so blatant. I think it really did spark some bad blood. I think the fact that ownership is NFL-based, and so they've got a different approach to player-owner relationships and the power structures they're in, I think that plays a part. I think the inexperience of the Lakers plays a part, and I think the Celtics play a part. I'm skeptical as of right now it gets done. I'm still not willing to say I think this is not happening because I've just seen too many times teams break at the last moment. But I do think that these factors do lean towards, there just doesn't seem to be any reason for the Pelicans to give the Lakers what they want, no matter what they're offering.
Or Anthony Davis.
Right.
To give him what he wants.
Right. I think honestly at this point, I'm being serious. There is a sentiment around the league that this is, that there's, the trade request is not what bugs them. It's not the trade request. It's the trade request by the agent of LeBron was basically specifically asking for to be traded to the Lakers without openly saying that, but yet making it clear that that's the preferred destination. The other destinations that were listed on his list don't make a lot of sense. They're hard deals to navigate, et cetera. The fact that this felt so orchestrated, I think that's what created a lot of bad blood.
Is it possible that the other teams were just a smokescreen?
That's been some of the speculation. Is
interesting,
you know, when executive did ask, like, well, what are the Bucks going to offer? They don't have a pick. They have to give up future picks way down the line. They could give you Eric Bledsoe, who is an expiring contract. That doesn't help you at all. Like, the teams on the list don't make any sense, including New York, who could put together an offer, but until we know what their draft lottery standing is, it makes zero sense to do it now. So it does seem like all the indications were, we these are the other teams we're interested in. I will say, though, that one reason I don't think it's completely a smokescreen is the Clippers' actions over the last 24 hours definitely got my interest as far as Anthony Davis is concerned.
Matt Moore with the Action Network, NBA Insider. Now we're inside of 24 hours until the trade deadline. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk about the Clippers. When I was on the air last night, that's when the news broke about Tobias Harris, who at the time the team was in Charlotte, not actually in Los Angeles, but he ends up going to the 76ers. What does this tell you about the Clippers, though?
So they're clearing cap space, and that's like the first reaction is everyone's like, oh, they're going to have all this cap space because if they were to move Danilo Gallinari in the summer, if they were to say, go to any team and say, if you'll take Danilo Gallinari, it's $22 million, we'll give you a first-round draft pick, they'd be able to clear space with two max contracts. And so much like with the Knicks, that's what was everybody's initial reaction. However, I keep looking at it this way. The Clippers are likely now, because they traded Harris, to miss the playoffs and have a lottery pick that's probably going to land somewhere between 10 and 14. They've got the Heat's 2021 first-round pick. They've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They've got Montrezl Harrell. If you put all of their stuff together along with the expiring contracts, they have a pretty compelling offer for Anthony Davis. And the question is that maybe the end game? Not necessarily now, but at the draft, before Boston can get in the conversation and after the deadline, is that when the Clippers could make their move for Davis?
How many of the guys that the Sixers have right now can they keep?
They can keep the big four, and that's what they're going to build around. They're going to build around Harris, Butler, Embiid, and Simmons. Simmons' extension will be a couple of years down the line. They're going to have Embiid long-term. They'll re-sign Butler and Harris this summer. The one that people, I think, are most interested in, honestly, is Butler because of his flare-up with the coach, his history of being a frustrating locker room and person to coach, his overall kind of unpredictability in terms of what he wants. That's the question I think a lot of people had today is the assumption is they're going to keep those four, and then they'll be able to build around whatever. They'll probably wind up moving Markelle Fultz. I know ESPN reported today that Orlando was a team that's been in contact with the Sixers about Markelle Fultz. They're probably going to move on from him. But the big question is, what does Jimmy Butler do? And Harris was a great addition for them, not only because he complements that trio and kind of ties those three together. Simmons and Embiid were an awkward fit, and Harris kind of navigates a little bit of that with his shooting and scoring ability. But if Butler were to leave, they would still have this third really high-level scoring option that they could turn to as they try and figure out what they're going to do long-term. So it was both a good short-term, like it was a good optimum outcome, which is Harris is the fourth best player and a great scorer and a great kind of safety net in case Butler does something unexpected.
There are a couple of teams where I feel like they haven't actually gotten better. And as you talk about with the Clippers, it's more about clearing cap space and planning for the future. When you see what the Dallas Mavericks have done, so the big trade for Kristaps Porzingis last week, but even like the situation with Harrison Barnes and finding out in the middle of a game, what are the Mavericks positioning themselves to do?
The very evident thing here is it's Luka Doncic's team. I think that once they drafted him, once the Hawks agreed to that deal and they were able to snag Doncic, they knew that the whole franchise was going to go in a radically different direction than they had planned. And yet, you know, you kind of go in and say, like, well, let's get him into camp and see how he does. And we've got a pretty good roster to put around him to gauge his talents. And then he's the front runner, runaway guy for Rookie of the Year and looks like he's going to be an absolutely phenomenal guy for years and years. And that's when I think you started seeing all these moves take place. They trade for Porzingis because it gives them a versatile big who's young that matches up with Doncic's age, that they can run pick and pop and just destroy teams that way. They move DeAndre Jordan and get off of Wes Matthews, the oldest guys on that team outside of Dirk. And then they move Harrison Barnes tonight, who's a ball-dominant wing that's not necessarily efficient. So it's very clear that they're just basically repositioning around Doncic. And if you look at where they are in the standings, yeah, they could still maybe make a run at the playoffs, but I don't know what that really gives them. So they've got an opportunity now. We'll see if they can keep their pick. It's top five protected, but they've got an opportunity, I think, to work towards maybe heading towards keeping their pick, but also moving towards getting young. The big key here, I just think, is Dallas is all in on Luka Doncic, and everything is going to have to revolve around him.
From the Action Network, Matt Moore is an NBA insider with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What are the Wizards doing in light of the John Wall injury and the fact that he's not just out for this season, he's out for literally a year?
Certainly looks like a fire sale. I mean, you're talking about Markieff Morris was traded to the Pelicans this evening, and then you've got Otto Porter getting shipped out as well to Chicago. Bobby Portis, who they got, is a restricted free agent this summer, so they're going to have to navigate that. But restricted free agents have had a hard time getting big money deals, so they could probably save a little bit that way. They've got some young pieces, but it certainly looks like the Wizards are all in for a complete tank job. The big question, of course, is, all right, Morris is gone, Porter's gone, what about Bradley Beal? And that's going to get very interesting, I think, in the next 24 hours as the Wizards try and figure out what kind of offers they can get if they can get the kind of return. It looks like they're trying to kickstart a rebuild with a $30 million anchor around them based off of John's really unfortunate and just really depressing injury. And it's just horrible what happened to him. But they're going to have to kind of navigate those waters. And it looks like they're going all towards a complete reconfiguration towards a youth movement in his absence.
All right, so we'll keep our eyes and ears out for a move with Bradley Beal. What else are you looking for between now and the deadline?
I think the situation in Memphis is still really interesting. You know, talks with Charlotte heated up and then cooled back down again. I still kind of think that that's going to get done. I was surprised to learn today, based on what I've been told, you know, ESPN reported that Mike Conley is reluctant to go to Utah. He prefers to go to the East, presumably because he can finally get an all-star spot there. That deal still might get done. They were pretty far along in terms of what I'd heard about discussions between the Jazz and the Grizzlies for a Conley swap. That might still get done. Now there's talks of a potential three-way deal with Toronto. That one I kind of doubt. The fact that it got out usually indicates from Toronto's perspective that it's already come and gone. But I do think that there's likely to be some sort of three-way configuration happening. So Memphis is one I'm watching out for. I think Atlanta's probably going to move off Kent Bazemore and Taurean Prince, giving some good team a wing boost. And there's still a couple of really interesting question marks in terms of there's always on the deadline moves that we never saw coming that in retrospect we go, oh, of course they were. The deals that are telegraphed, those are the ones that almost never happen because the best GMs move in silence, and that's what you're going to see, I think, tomorrow is if we see a big move, it's going to come out of nowhere.
Man, it certainly seems like there are fewer and fewer teams that are willing to make moves to improve their current rosters than there are teams willing to just say, eh, we'll build for the future.
I think a lot of that's this free agency summer. I mean, I read something along the lines of like 47% of the league is going to be up. It has the potential to be up in free agency if everyone exercises their options. Everyone's got cap space. The cap goes up this summer quite a bit in a bump based off of the revenue, and it may go up even more based off of some of the revenue that they produce through various means and partnerships. So everybody's going to have money, everybody's going to have a free agent, and everybody wants to be able to reconfigure around whatever this new universe is going to be when Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis and Jimmy Butler and everybody else figures out where they're going. Nobody wants to be stuck without the ability to make big moves and reconfigure their team. And I think that's why you see so many teams shedding salary, trying to get cap space.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's just a precursor. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt Moore, T-A-N, and that stands for the Action Network. He's their NBA insider, former colleague of ours. Always good to have you on the show, Matt. Thanks so much.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Now they've got Jason Randall on Giannis. Giannis sizes him up. Randall tries to body him to the rim. Slam it. Jason was chasing Giannis. Had no hope. Giannis left wing for his third three of the game. Oh, my. Yes, sir. Oh, it makes me smile when he hits that. Three threes in the game for Giannis. Bucks lead by 20. DJ Wilson left wing. Ooh, almost walked. Finds Giannis, who drives on Bryant to the rim and scores. What big steps you take, young man. 120 to 107. Ersan, top of the key, go out to Bledsoe. He's driving right there to Giannis. Throw it down. Giannis has 39 in the game. Bledsoe has 11 assists. 135-116. Here's a steal by Giannis. Here he goes. Blows it down on Green. Big steps. Whoa. Big slam. And a foul. Oh, man. He got to style on that one. Woo! The crowd loves it here at Fiserv Forum.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The top two teams in the East and the West in the NBA certainly flexed their muscles on Wednesday night. And I know it's not the number one topic inside the association, but how about 85 first half points for the Milwaukee Bucks against the Wizards, a depleted Wizards roster to be sure. But Giannis with 43 points of his own. And it was one of those games, again, where They got off to a really hot start. They had 50 in the first quarter alone. And while they did give up 42 to the Wizards in the third quarter, this was a Bucks team that you got to see really its full arsenal.
It was a crazy game, as you said. You know, I think we were just trading basket at one point. You know, we're a good team, but we tried to be a great team. So, you know, I think we played a little bit sloppy, you know, offensively. Even though we scored a lot, we were sloppy. And defensively, we had to, like, pick it up a little bit because that's not the face we want to show. You know, it's a great win. It's always a good, you know, it's good to win. But at the end of the day, we got to get better. And defensively, we got to get better.
Giannis was 17 of 21 from the charity stripe. 17 of 21 from the field, 6 of 11 from the charity stripe. The team, the Bucks overall, shot 60% from the floor, but the Wizards shot 52%. So you hear Giannis talk about the defense and being sloppy. They had 14 turnovers, but the Wizards had 23. So a lot of back and forth. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to the reaction from Dallas about the Harrison Barnes trade. Even in the shadow of Luka Doncic with yet another triple-double, the news was about Barnes sticking and sitting on the bench even after finding out that he'd been traded. I think it was the third or fourth quarter. Antoine is listening in Detroit. Welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, good morning. I'd just like to give a little
Wait, sir, we're having a really hard time hearing you because of your phone. Can you try again?
I'm sorry.
Your cell phone's really bad. So hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to you again when we can understand what you're saying, because we don't want to waste that time on the air. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you could get it all at geico.com. All right, so Chris says we can try again with Antoine. Welcome, Antoine.
Sorry so much about that. Amy, long-time listener, first-time caller. I love you, so you always keep it real.
Awesome, thank you.
I'm calling. I have a little, I looked into my crystal ball today, and I have a little trade that I think everybody's undermining. Everybody's so focused on the Lakers getting Anthony Davis. They made a couple trades today. They made one with my home team, Detroit, getting Reggie Bullock, who's a really good three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. I think everything that they're undermining with the Wizards blowing the roster open the way they are, I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Ingram and Lance Stevenson, Lonzo Ball for Bradley Beal in a pick or something like that, because that's really – everybody's so focused on the interior scoring for the Lakers. They've been excellent scoring in the interior this year. They don't have any outside shooting, and they don't have any good two-way guard besides like a Brandon Ingram, which to me, if you ask me, Brandon Ingram has really been like a poison to the Lakers this year. When LeBron's not on the floor, because he plays a lot of iso ball, the other guys come in, most of the other guys on the team are willing passers. You know, Kuzma, Lonzo, those guys are going to get other people involved. But when I watch Brandon Ingram and he gets the ball, he gets it about 15 seconds, he drains that shot clock down, and there's no ball movement. He's like a young Carmelo Anthony. When the ball gets to him, he just goes into this horse blinder mode. And I think that's one of the negative parts of what's keeping a lot of these players from coming to L.A., because they don't want to get rid of Brandon Ingram. They'd rather get rid of Kyle Kuzma, which is a better player. If you're going to keep somebody, I think you keep Kyle Kuzma and you get rid of everyone else and build around Kuzma, LeBron, and whoever the said free agent come in, because what you don't want to happen is in the summertime with the Clippers moving up, opening up space they're doing, the thing they can do is get Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, but if you're looking at this from a trade partner's perspective, not from the Lakers' perspective, I understand. I think they would want to keep Kuzma as well. But if you're looking at it from the other angle, the other half, then why would you make that trade with the Lakers? If you're not going to get Kuzma, what you're going to get is Ingram after you just ripped up his game. So Ingram and Lonzo Ball and a couple of picks, that would make you want to give up Anthony Davis or some other superstar player?
It's been so hard for them. That's why I said instead of trying to Because what's going to happen is, you ever have someone that, you know, you're about to buy a product, someone keeps trying to sell it to you, they can turn you off about their product, no matter how well the product is. See, what the Lakers are going to do is keep knocking on New Orleans' door. And all these other teams, all these other guys is looking to be traded, other teams, they're good enough players. Like, you know, one of your callers said earlier, LeBron doesn't need another Hall of Fame All-Star. He needs another superstar there to play a good role-playing superstar, which I think Bradley Beal fits in perfectly to what they're doing. They don't have any outside shooting. They need a guy when he's off the floor to orchestrate the offense and be able to get his own shot. Because interior, even if you get Anthony Davis is not a point guard. Someone's going to have to get Anthony Davis that ball. Did they double-team him?
Well, Rondo is a point guard.
Yeah, but the thing is, Rondo was in New Orleans with him, and they got rid of Rondo. So evidently, you know, it may not be him and Anthony Davis particularly, but the chemistry wasn't there for them to invest in the long
term. I don't know that I agree with that. I think that actually Rondo and Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis made a lot of noise in getting that team. Remember, they swept Portland in the first round of the playoffs, and they got Rondo late, and then they, you know, I mean, that was a combination that worked for me. I actually thought maybe that's going to be a comfort for Anthony Davis. The only thing is, I'll just say, you know, you put LeBron and Kyle Kuzma and Bradley Beal on one team with, you know, some of the others. Do you still think that that's enough to beat the Warriors if it comes down to it?
No, because this year, everybody's focused on the Lakers winning the championship this year. Everyone,
what? They're not winning a championship this year.
No, but they're not, though. That's what I'm saying. Everyone's focusing on them getting to the pinnacle because that's LeBron James.
Not this
year. They expect LeBron.
Not
exactly.
This year.
If you, there's a lot of people who won't accept that reality, but the Lakers are not going to make it to the championship this year. So why not build up to what you want to have if you can't get it now? What's the point of giving away everything and you do get Anthony Davis, and then now what you're going to have to do is wait to see what Kyrie Irving does, see what Kemba Walker does, because if you give away Lonzo and all these other pieces, you're not going to have too much depth or too many shooting guards or point guards, so you don't want to give up all your depth just to get one player, which is, you know, even though Anthony Davis is an outstanding player, he can't be a guard all the time, and LeBron can't be a guard all the time either. That's what's held him back in his career, is he's always needed a good guard. When he had Kyrie Irving, he didn't have to play on ball so much.
Yeah,
he did.
I got you. I'm sorry, I got to let you go because we're at the bottom of the hour, but thank you so much for calling, Antoine. I'm with you that they still are missing some pieces, and that you don't mortgage the farm to bring in Anthony Davis. Now, if you can get him in the offseason, maybe that's a different story, but that's part of the problem, is there will be a bidding war if they wait until the offseason. Right now, it's more just about the Lakers trying to make this plea with the Pelicans, but, you know, I can understand why not only the Pelicans, but the NBA are resistant if you think about just the what I called an incestuous relationship last night on the air. Believe it or not, I heard someone else in sports radio use that same word and was like, okay, maybe I'm not completely off base. The whole thing about LeBron's business partner being Davis's agent and them trying to get this deal done feels a bit like a strong arm job. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. I appreciate those of you females who are listening to the show and letting me know. Joanna says, I'm listening to you in California as I'm going to sleep. You're doing a fantastic job. Apparently not enough to keep you awake. Emily says, I'm in Portland, Maine. My affiliation to sports is I ref and umpire from my recliner. She says, I'm a Boston Strong fan. I love college basketball, men's and women's. Have a good day. Go Boston. And then one more. Marie says, hi, Amy. Love listening to your show. I work overnight and listen to you on my commute home here in Nova Scotia, Canada. Hockey is my sport. I love to watch, but I've learned so much about football and basketball because of your show. Yes, that's awesome. Thank you, Marie. I appreciate that. My mom says the same thing. All right, so find us on Facebook or on Twitter for those of you who are listening and loving the fact that there's a female talking about sports. That makes me happy. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Doncic back in the game with it. Again, Zeller on the drive, protects the ball, reversing and scoring with a foul and a chance for three as Zeller tried to wrap him up and couldn't do it. A terrific finish by Luka. Doncic against Batum. Puts it on the floor now against Zeller. Steps back away from Zeller for three. Hit it! Well, Luka also likes the clutch situations.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Luka Doncic with yet another triple-double, but that was not the story as the Mavericks won their game against the Charlotte Hornets. Amy, get your act together, girlfriend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I probably shouldn't be identifying myself at that point. Yes, a win over the Hornets. Barnes, Harrison was traded to the Kings. So you can understand it was an honest mistake. Always go with your first answer. Chuck Cooperstein on the Dallas Mavericks radio network. So here's what happened. Harrison Barnes was playing in this game as the Mavericks were beating the Hornets, but he watched the fourth quarter from the bench after he found out he was traded to the Kings. Now, this is not a massive deal that's going to shake up the NBA, but it is part of this pre-deadline activity. The Kings are sending Justin Jackson and Zach Randolph to the Mavericks in exchange for Harrison Barnes. We just talked to Matt Moore at the top of the hour, and he said this is really about making it Luka's team. All right. So kind of clearing out the players that don't necessarily fit with his style of play or that create traffic on the wing, so to speak. But you can imagine hearing that you've been traded during a game, and actually Harrison Barnes had 10 points in the third quarter. He decided not to leave and go to the locker room like many players do when they find out they've been traded. And sometimes the teams require them to leave wherever they are at the time with their teammates. So I appreciate that about Harrison. He's a veteran. And it did incite some reaction from both LeBron James and Paul Pierce. So we'll get to that in a moment. But Dirk Nowitzki with some kind words for his longtime teammate.
I figured it's about time for Harris to sub in for me now. It was like 8 minutes to go, and I was like, he's not coming back. But he was still there on the bench, so that's when I found out. So obviously disappointed for my guy. I think everybody knows how close we were. He's been a great influence on the team. Also in his community, the stuff he did, he had an imprint, so we're going to miss him. Like I said before, at the time when he got here, he was 24, 25. I've never seen a 24, 25-year-old that had his stuff together like he did on and off the floor. He was a hard worker, and he set a great example for his franchise for the couple years he was here. So. I told him I wish him nothing but the best, and we'll definitely stay in touch.
I can't imagine higher praise from Dirk Nowitzki. If I'm Harrison Barnes, that means the world to me, those comments from Dirk. So that was the reaction, part of it, from the Dallas locker room. But then LeBron James posts on Instagram. Wasn't LeBron just telling us yesterday that the young guys need to stay off social media? Oh, but I guess this was really important. So, and I'll just read it verbatim. So let me guess. This is cool because they had to do what was best for the franchise, right? 3 question marks. Traded this man while he was literally playing in the game and had zero idea. I'm not knocking who traded him because it's a business and you have to do what you feel is best. I'm sorry. This to me reeks of hypocrisy, but I'll just keep going. You have to do what you feel is best, but I just want this narrative to start to get real and change, and not when a player wants to be traded or leaves a franchise that he's selfish, ungrateful player, but when they trade you, release, waive, cut, et cetera, it's best for them. I'm okay with both, honestly. I truly am. Just call a spade a spade. Funny enough, the post was liked by one Anthony Davis on Instagram. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so Barnes gets traded in the middle of a game, but let's not assume he was blindsided, because maybe that's not the case. His agent told Paul Pierce, who now works for ESPN, that he and the Mavericks were working on a trade and that Barnes knew something was in the works with Sacramento. Okay, so LeBron's maybe a bit off base here. He wasn't completely blindsided. They did agree to the timing during the game, and Barnes wanted to play. All right, so he wanted to play as opposed to being benched and not having the opportunity to play that last game with the Mavericks. But he did know something was happening, and he knew his agent was working on it. So this wasn't a blindside. It wasn't the two teams that got together. He knew that Sacramento was the likely destination, and he knew that his agent was part of the conversation. So he was clued in to something happening, but he still wanted to play in the game. So LeBron is a little bit off base. I think what LeBron is trying to say is, but again, he's basing it on the idea that Barnes was blindsided, that you shouldn't be ripping a player up one side and down another when he asks for a trade, but then give the team carte blanche to do whatever it wants because it's a business. Okay, so he's saying treat us equal on both sides. A player is also part of the business, and if a player wants out, then a player should be able to say he wants out and wants to go somewhere else. But a team that makes a trade, why isn't that team getting criticized for pulling the rug out from under a player who he thought didn't know anything about it? So my reaction is this. Every player who's in this business knows that trades are a possibility. It's part of the business structure of the league. And I'm not a fan of how Anthony Davis went about this, mostly because of what we talked about. His agent is also the business partner of LeBron James, which also kind of makes me feel like this is just, this pose from LeBron. But the way that it happened, here are the teams I want to go to, and then you literally put your team in a position in which it's kind of backed up against the wall. Because there are a bunch of other teams out there that might be interested in trading for Davis, but they know better, right? Because Davis is only going to go and sign with these particular teams. And so it's the public nature of Davis asking for a trade and then also saying, I'm not going to sign a long-term extension with any of them. So Pelicans, not only am I telling you I want out, but I'm also saying, hey, good luck getting some assets in return when I'm not going to sign a long-term deal any place I go. So just the public nature of it and the who it is that he's working with and where he wants to go. And it just, it's fishy and it's, and the NBA is bothered by it too. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this is hypocritical of LeBron when he's his business partner and his agent is the one who's working with Anthony Davis to try to find him a new home in Los Angeles. Like, the whole thing is just ick. It's a little underhanded, if you ask me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not that LeBron asked me. Sheila is listening in the Bay Area. Sheila, welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
In case you want to know, there's a plunge in San Francisco, too, now.
Oh, really? When is it?
Oh, it goes in the spring.
Oh, see, I bet it's not 36 degrees in the water, then.
I'm not sure what it is. I never tried it, nor would I want to. I'm too handicapped for that. What I wanted to call you about was, I couldn't believe what I saw on the radio tonight. We have a new governor in California, and I don't know why he is wearing a New England Patriot. I'm a politician's daughter, and I used to teach elementary school children recreation, but I never pulled politics like that. And he should help the Raiders stay in Oakland, California, because we're losing all of our teams, Miss Lawrence. The Warriors are going to go to San Francisco, and everything is mixed up in the Bay Area now.
Yeah, it does feel a little odd at this particular moment. You know, the Raiders looking for a new home, the Warriors getting ready to move, certainly the A's and everything that's gone on with them in the Coliseum and needing the upgrades and not wanting to share that park. And if they do want to share, it's just, yeah, there's a lot happening right now. So I certainly understand why it feels very unsettled.
To us older people, because I'm very handicapped now and I can't get around to it, and I don't I went through the Stingley when Daryl Stingley got paralyzed, and it caused Al Davis to move the team to Los Angeles. He came back, but yeah. Well, anyway.
So do you listen on the radio? Is that how you follow your teams? I have to let you go soon, but.
I have more than one. Do I listen on the radio?
Yeah.
No, I have. I became a free agency fan when I became Stabler's number one fan for
gotcha.
The Hall of Fame.
Gotcha. Okay, so you are you're about following all the teams. Sheila, thank you so much. Again, I'm sorry we have to let you go because we're up against the top of the hour here, but always good to hear from you. We also got this call from 88-year-old June in New Hampshire. Live free or die, June. She didn't want to go on the air, according to Chris, but says she's a big fan and that we do a great job. 88 years old, and I can entertain her. That's awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.